Jack Blood uncovers it, exposing the lies that our trusted government officials do not want us to know. And now, please welcome Jack Blood. Propaganda that your trusted government officials do not want you to know about. Welcome to another live original edition of Deadline Live. It is the 29th day of January 2007. I'm Jack Blood, your narrator, your radio gun, reporting for the next 2 hours. Joining us on the program today, roughly in about 25 minutes, is Don Parmeter. He's from the American Public and Private Property Coalition, and we will be talking about the Oberstar Feingold Clean Water Authority Restoration Act, which, of course, is not about clean water. It's about an enormous expansion of the federal control over water, land, and, of course, people. We'll get into this and tear this apart. Of course, more of the Hegelian dialectic. They create the problem. They stem up the reaction with the controlled media, and they provide the solution, which is always more control. I'm sorry, security. That's what they call it. Safety, security. It's always control. So we'll talk about that at the bottom half of this first hour. I wanted to start with this. We got a lot of news to report. We're going to try to take some of your calls in the second hour. We'll see how that works out. I wanted to talk about this. I was, not that surprised over the weekend to see almost a near media blackout here in Austin and nationally over the giant mass protest and redressing of grievances in Washington, D.C. and in cities and towns all over the country. Here in Austin, we had probably 300-400 people converge at the State House, the State House here in Austin, Texas, on Congress Street. What did the news media report? They reported some type of an abortion rally. Just completely forgot to report the fact that hundreds of people were demanding accountability for the wars and everything that goes with them, including the domestic spying, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Almost a near news media blackout. I was looking on the national news for something on this and saw a couple of blurbs as usual. I think that the local media finally reported here in Austin, Texas, dozens of people. That's a little short of the hundreds. I've seen the pictures. I didn't make it down there, but I saw the pictures. Same thing with Washington, D.C. We saw tens of thousands of people converge in Washington, D.C., including Hanoi Jane. And we're told there's a liberal media bias. I mean, when do we not hear about the liberal media bias, especially if you're watching Fox News? Well, I think the question should be asked with these multiple news agencies allegedly owned by different owners, different people with different agendas. The question needs to be asked, how do these people all come together to black out news stories? Now, there was some reporting on this. I know the Washington Post printed a couple of quotes from people online. I went to Google, I believe it was Saturday night or Sunday morning, to try to find some news about this, and the only link I could find on Google News was from Al Jazeera. They were the only ones reporting it. So again, here we have people getting up, taking arms with their pitchforks and their torches, celebrities into a major news story, almost completely ignored. Now, this really reminds me of the fifth anniversary at Ground Zero, where no less than 2,000 people with their black Investigate 9/11 shirts were in attendance at Ground Zero, the fifth anniversary. Very hard to miss. In fact, we and our group, including Loose Change, Alex Jones, Luke Rudowski, and so many great organizers just did a fantastic job on this, and it was very hard to miss. I mean, the point can be made that we pretty much controlled what happened on the ground there. We were the story. There really wasn't much else going on at Ground Zero. A lot of looky-loos and people coming to pay their respects, but really no organizations there. There was no real people protesting or showing up there other than the Investigate 9/11 people. A huge contingent. Now, I myself, if you remember, did a story. I did an interview with the New York Post. I thought, you know, we did a pretty good job on that, and the reporter seemed authentically interested in why we were there and what we had to say. Of course, that interview never appeared. In fact, no interview appeared. No news coverage of this appeared. And you're talking several different networks and newspapers, again, allegedly owned by separate entities, somehow all getting together, shooting around the thousands of people at Ground Zero last September 11th, and blacking it out as a coalition of news agencies. Well, we're seeing the same thing here with these protests. Of course, there is no liberal media bias. There's only a truth media bias, as we like to say. You know, you've heard the quote, "The truth will set you free." Well, I mean, it's time to set the truth free. And of course, they're scared that a lot of people might see that there's some enthusiasm against the war and that they will run off track. And I don't know, I guess we can fill in the blanks here. What is the interest of the news media in this? Well, of course, the conflicts of interest at large, with news companies also being military contractors. Of course, General Electric comes to mind, NBC, owned by one of the biggest military contractors in the world. Bad for business! It's as simple as that. It's bad for business, and it's not on the docket, not on the agenda. We always hear that the media is just giving us what we want. Well, of course, I would say otherwise. Looking at a big, big story like this, this is news, and it needs to be reported. But I'm thinking about the liberal media bias and the anti-war leftists who are running our media today. And then remembering back, crawling down the memory hole for several months, and remembering back when Israel attacked Lebanon and Beirut. Well, the day before, there was a lot of criticism about the war. There were some anti-war people starting to make appearances. And the first thing you see when the attack from Israel takes place and the indiscriminate wholesale bombing of a modern city in Beirut is there for all the world to see, who jumps on the bandwagon but the mainstream media? Instantly reversing their so-called opinions about the war and jumping in with both feet into the new war, which of course we can expect them to do with Iran. And we can also expect them to help propagandize you with war propaganda in order to get you to hate Iran enough to look the other way while they're indiscriminately bombed. What I'm saying here is that there is no media bias. There's a control bias. They're not left. They're not right. They're not in between. They're not just giving you the news that you want. They're not just reporting the news you're interested in. They are controlling public opinion, and of course this goes back to the CIA program, Operation Mockingbird, designed in 1963 to control all public opinion, and the Deregulation of the Media Act, which was signed under Gore and Clinton, which in order these giant media companies to Pac-Man the little independent newspapers. Well, here in Texas, we've got a story, we're going to talk about this today. One of the big toll road entities, the Australian bank that owns a large chunk of of our toll roads here, of our Trans-Texas corridor, have been snatching up newspapers in order to control the public opinion, the outrage against the toll roads and against the Trans-Texas corridor in general. So we really need to understand that no news is not good news, as the bumper sticker says. That's our bumper sticker winner. No news is not good news, and a media blackout is not reporting. This is the biggest story of the weekend. Of course, I'm still waiting for the media to announce that Ron Paul, a Republican congressman, has thrown his hat in the ring for the presidential campaign of 2008. Still waiting for some mention of that. All right, we'll come right back. We've got a lot of news to report on the program today. Stay tuned, folks. Deadline Live. This is the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
And now, back to Deadline Live with your narrator, Jack Blood.
Can bear to look at it, but those who do become well, and none are more hopelessly enslaved than those who believe they are free. So said Yeah, the media isn't covering or didn't feel the need, didn't feel it to newsworthy to cover in totality the massive, not only worldwide, but nationwide protest here over the weekend. I was pretty proud that a lot of people got out. Not always people that I would normally associate with, like Hanoi Jane, but, you know, it's a good thing. And I think it's important to try to cover this the best we can, and we will try to do that. We'll also, on today's program, I think we left off Friday not talking about Bono. I wanted to get to that. We're going to go over some anti-gun legislation. We're going to talk about some Trans-Texas Corridor news. There is some information coming from the Federal Reserve that your pennies could be worth a nickel very soon due to shortages. We'll talk about that. Big bombing in Israel today. 3 people dead. They blamed Hamas. Of course, there'll be retaliation for that. Iran defying Bush. They're going to try to set up their bank in Baghdad. And they are being warned heavily to get out of Iraq. And whatever happened to al-Sadr? He was arrested last week, and again, more media blackout. We never did hear about the fallout that I'm sure ensued from that. So we have a lot of news to talk about, and, you know, talking about Palestine very briefly, I mean, this is another example of media bias and media blackout, because they did not report before the attacks on Beirut, if you remember. They didn't talk about the massive offensive that was taking place in the West Bank, the wholesale killings, and I will use that word over and over again because that's what it is, genocide, which is exactly what it looked like to me and to many others, totally not reported by the mainstream media as if it wasn't happening, and then they waited to jump on the bandwagon when the attacks full-fledged went into Lebanon and Beirut. And then regarding these protests, I mean, look, I'm not going to sit and criticize you for inviting Jane Fonda to your protest. I'm not going to criticize you for having socialist organizations running around passing out their manifestos. And people who go to these things, who generally are on the other side of the fence from my people, who are nothing but racist and xenophobes and conspiracy nuts. But, you know, there was a comment made, because we had our 9/11 people protesting like they do every Saturday here in front of the State House, and we're kind of caught in the middle of these giant protests. And there were a number of comments made that they don't like the 9/11 people, that they're bad, and they're somehow embarrassing their movement, to the World Can't Wait movement, or whatever you want to call it. And obviously, I mean, this is something that... It will need to be hashed out at some point. But look, I mean, we said this on the program last week. We'll work with you. We'll help you. We'll support your protest, not your beliefs, not your agendas, but your protest. Why don't you lay off of us, okay? We've done a lot of work here. There are millions and millions of people now that believe that either 9/11 was an inside job or there was an official cover-up into 9/11, and we need to know more, and there need to be investigations. There are a number of points and platforms that I think most people can agree on, though, of course, like anything, people don't agree on the whole body of the context of the work, but I wouldn't take it so lightly, okay? World Can't Wait, to Code Pink, or the Socialist Party of America, whoever you are, I wouldn't take the 9/11 protesters and the 9/11 truth movement so lightly, okay? Just a word to the wise for you. Also, speaking of Hanoi Jane, John Kerry stepped in it again and called the U.S. evil. I'm going to play the clip. I haven't even listened to most of it, but it's just more proof that the United States is going to be used as an engine to create a globalization and world government. We'll get to that on the program as well today. This is what Al Jazeera reported regarding the rallies. Tens of thousands of anti-war protesters have rallied outside Congress, chanting, "Bring our troops home," in an attempt to pressure the government to quit Iraq. Veterans and military families, that's right, folks, veterans and military families joined some congressmen, Dennis Kucinich, peace groups and actors to urge Congress and George W. Bush, the U.S. president, allegedly, to, they should be addressing Dick Cheney, to stop funding the war and pull the troops from Iraq. Quote, "I thought I was serving honorably. Instead, I was sent to war for causes that I have proved fraudulent," said Garrett Reppenhagen. He's a former sniper and Iraq war veteran. He said this at Saturday's rally in D.C. Quote, We need to put pressure on our elected government to force them to, and that's a selected government, to force them to bring the troops home. Tens of thousands of people attended the two-hour rally, according to a police officer. That's the source, a police officer. A demonstrator's message is a group of families of soldiers killed in Iraq stood holding pictures of their loved ones, including one photo of a soldier in full-dress uniform lying in a coffin. Hani Khalil, he's a member of the United for Peace and Justice group, told Al Jazeera that the demonstrators want to send a message to the new elected Congress that the Americans are against the war in Iraq. Stephanie, a student from New York, told Al Jazeera's correspondent, "We never had a good purpose for going to Iraq, and it's ridiculous now to send more troops there." That's an escalation. American students do not support this. The protest was one of several expected around the country on Saturday, including a large march that was scheduled in Los Angeles. Protesters planned and coordinated efforts during the week to lobby congressmen to take action against the war, which I believe has been working. Now, the Iraq body count, IBC, an independent website that uses two media reports as a source for each death, says up to 60,600 civilians have been reported killed. That number is 600,000. I don't know if that's a misprint. Asked about the protest, Gordon Jandro, a White House national security advisor, said Bush understands that Americans want to see a conclusion to the war in Iraq, and the new strategy is designed to do just that in a year or two, and then never. Protesters said they hope to send Bush and Congress a message that Americans did not support the war. "I'm convinced this is Bush's war. He had his own agenda there," said Ann Shea, holding a sign of a picture of her 19-year-old son John, who was serving in Iraq. "We're serving no purposes there," Shea said. Her son, who has been in Baghdad since July, said he was proud of her for traveling from Andover, Massachusetts to take part in the anti-war rally. Silence is not an option. Jane Fonda, Hanoi Jane, former actress who was criticized for her opposition to the Vietnam War. No, it wasn't her opposition. It was how she opposed the war. Of course, the famous pictures of her on an anti-aircraft North Vietnamese tank. Well, our planes were being shot down in the background. I wouldn't call that so much opposition as a collaboration. It drew huge cheers when she addressed the crowd. She noted that she had not spoken at an anti-war rally in 34 years. Why start now, Jane? But that's okay. "Silence is no longer an option," she said. "I'm so glad we have to do this, that we did not learn from the lessons of the Vietnam War." No, we never learn from the lessons of perpetual war. John Conyers also attended, has some interesting things to say. We'll try to get on more of this if you want to talk about it. Again, we'll be taking calls in the second hour at 1-800-259-9231. We'll see if you can hang on long enough to get to you. And anything else you want to talk about, come up with our guest right after this, folks. Stay tuned.
This is Communication Radio Network.
So much to live. Well, that's what we try to do in our program Monday through Friday, 5 days a week on AM and FM stations all over the country, 70 countries over the internet. You're listening to Deadline Live. I'm your radio gun, Jack Blood. This is the Genesis Communications Radio Network. My guest is Don Parmeter, and he is a spokesperson with the American Public and Private Property Coalition out of St. Paul, Minnesota. And brought to my attention today, sent by one of our great tipsters, was the information on the Oberstar Feingold Clean Water Authority Restoration Act. Now, of course, to most of you, well, most of you who don't understand how the government works, it sounds like a good thing. Like so many of the government programs, they sound wonderful, and they never are. The great late Harry Brown once did my program, and former candidate nominee for president with the Libertarian Party did our program as a sit-in guest once and asked the listeners to call in to tell them one government program that's ever worked for them, and nobody could think of one, and nobody ever did call in on that. But we know how the Hegelian dialectic works. We know that they start the problem with dirty water. They create a systemic reaction, and then they provide a solution. Well, in this case, the Oberstar-Feingold Clean Water Authority Restoration Act, known as H.R. 1356 and Senate Bill 912, is not about clean water. It's about an enormous expansion of federal control over water, land, and people. Don Parmeter is with us. Don, thank you for joining us on the program today.
Thank you for having me.
Break this down for us.
Well, you know, this is, as you said, clean water has a tremendous political appeal, so what you've got is bipartisan support for the Oberstar-Feingold bill. Oberstar had, and Oberstar is from Minnesota, and represents a district that has enormous amount of water, and probably one of the most affected districts.
Land of 10,000 lakes, isn't what they call it up there, Don?
That's right. And the thing is, according to a poll, 80% of the people in his district don't want expansion of federal control. So figure it. But anyway, what this bill would do would be to expand the federal government authority under the 1972 Federal Water Pollution Control Act to include not just navigable waters, but all waters of the United States, which would include wetlands, streams, including intermittent streams, mud flats, sand flats, sloughs, prairie potholes, wet meadows, playa lakes, ponds, and get this, activities affecting these waters. This is about non-point source pollution control, which non-point source pollution is anything that doesn't come out of a pipe, essentially, which is any significant human activity, forestry, mining, recreation, agriculture, you name it, development of any kind. So
the government that worked part and parcel to dirty up and ruin most of the water here in the United States is now telling us that they'll federally control all the water. And this isn't just in Minnesota, this is all over the country, or?
This is national.
Yeah.
As you said, it's supported by Mr. Oberstar from Minnesota and Senator Feingold from Wisconsin. And yes, it's a national bill, and it hasn't gotten a lot of attention, as a matter of fact, and people look at clean water and say, yeah, you know, sign me up. Well, everybody wants clean water, but I think if they understood what this bill does,
we're in the business of reading the fine print here, Don, as I know you guys are too.
Mm-hmm.
So this looks like it's just going to float right through and be rubber stamped through both the Senate and Congress.
Well, there is opposition to it, and I think there will. One of the things our organization wants to do, and we want to build on the opposition that's there. National Association of Counties, a lot of farm organizations do oppose it. As I said, I don't think there's been a whole lot of attention, at least here in Minnesota. The press hasn't really covered this much at all. And so we think we've got an enormous education project on our hands to get people.
Yeah.
And the people that do know about it say, no way, we don't want that. We want clean water, but we don't want the federal government to control our lives.
Right. And I think that that's definitely why we're having you on the program today, to try to get the word out for this. So, I mean, and I want my listeners to understand that this affects you in your backyard. If this goes through, hypothetically, Don, if this passes and goes through, what kind of rules, restriction, legislation, what kind of laws can we see being applied to our waterways all over the country?
Well, I think what you would see is just a more aggressive and expansive bureaucratic machine. And I don't know how they would implement this. You know, like I said, you know, once the law is passed and the Federal Water Pollution Control Act includes all of these waters, I think it would be a total nightmare, to be honest with you.
Kids can't go play in the streams without the federal government's permission?
It would be up to the federal government agencies to decide who could do what and when and where they could do it.
Taylor can't go down to the river with his fishing pole and pull out some healthy fish?
You would like to think that there would be a common sense on-the-ground application of any federal law, but I haven't seen it yet, and I don't think it's bound to happen in this case. Even the way the existing Federal Water Pollution Control Act is being implemented, it's having an enormous impact on people here in Minnesota and elsewhere. And by the way, the Supreme Court did rule recently, well, in 2002 in Illinois and in 2006, just a few months ago in Michigan, and there were close calls, 5-4 decisions in support of local people. And this bill, this act, the Oberstar-Feingold bill, would take care of that problem, and the federal government would have clear control.
And whatever happened to states' rights, I guess some of my libertarian listeners are asking. Are you familiar with the term Agenda 21?
I am familiar with it, and I know it's massive, and I knew it was brought up, I think, in the early 90s, the first time, probably during the Earth Summit.
Co-opting of our forests, co-opting of property, both private and public, mm-hmm. here, all across the United States.
That's right.
A giant grid under the United Nations.
Yeah, and we've seen UN programs here. In fact, when I say some local citizens got together and opposed a UN designation in northern Minnesota. These things just kind of pop up all over the place, and if you're not paying attention, all of a sudden they're there,
yeah.
And then the regulations come later. There are a number
which
of
could
people
which could completely go off the charts, Don. I mean, we know what the federal government is capable of. So when I say hypothetically, what happens if this passes? What kind of laws might we see? I mean, the sky's the limit, isn't it?
The sky is the limit, and frankly, I mean, if you really are cynical, and I come out of the environmental community, and our organization supports conservation, and I think most Americans do. But I come out of the environmental community, and I guess if I had any idea back in the 70s when I first started in this business where this thing was going to go, I would have bailed out earlier. But, I mean, if you look at, for example, the former Soviet Union, you talk about how centralized government destroyed the economy. It also destroyed the environment. And we've had people come here.
In the guise, of course, of protecting the environment.
That's right. That's right. And environmental protection seems to be a front for expanded government control.
It certainly is international control, as we just touched on. You said, you know, if I knew about this in the 70s, that might have helped me get farther faster. In fact, somebody did know about this in the 70s. It was Professor Ali Campbell of George Washington University speaking to his graduating class on the water resource management in 1975. He said, just wait till the federal government, get around to controlling non-point source water pollution. And he knew.
That's right, and that's what the Oberstar-Feingold bill is. And it was a warning. It's something I didn't really appreciate back then, but I do now.
This is a huge, huge story, very important issue. Our guest today, Don Parmeter, will join us in the second segment, the next segment. He's from the American...
ACHTERS.com.
To mislead anyone, we do know of certain knowledge that he is either in Afghanistan or in some other country or dead.
Happy Jack wasn't old, but he was a man.
All right, I'm told Alex Jones will join us in the second hour. We'll also be taking your calls at 800-259-9231. You're listening to Deadline Live. Our guest today, Don Parmeter, just ran across these guys today. I thank God for the tips that we get at DeadlineLive@Yahoo.com. Otherwise, we might not know about some of these things. So, Clipper, thanks for sending this over to us, and we are going to be taking action. Don Parmeter is with the American Public and Private Property Coalition of St. Paul, Minnesota. Don, tell people how they can find you, how they can get more information on this issue, join you in opposing this legislation.
Well, yes. As a matter of fact, we are just opening a new office in St. Paul, and it is called the American Public and Private Property Coalition. So we're concerned about, you know, rights not only on private land but public land as well. But our address there is 161 St. Anthony Avenue, and that's Suite 935, and it's St. Paul, Minnesota, 55103.
Should I assume that you have a website?
We do not have a website yet, but we will have. I certainly have email if you want email address. We've got a co-founder in the Twin Cities and myself up here in northern Minnesota.
I'm going to try to post your story on my website so people can find your contact information. Let's just make it easy for people.
Okay.
Go to jackblood.com or uncoverthenews.com and look for this article about this really dreadful legislation, which has farther-reaching implications than I think we can even oversell to you here on the program today. Maud Barlow has done some amazing work on the privatization of water. You can Google Who Owns Water. Look for her article with Tony Clark. And she starts off her large body of work with a quote from Fortune magazine. And it says this: water promises to be the 21st century what oil was to the 20th century, the precious commodity that determines the wealth of nations. Don?
Wow. Yeah, I couldn't say it better myself. And frankly, I don't think it is possible to oversell this thing. I've been in this business for over 30 years, fought a lot of battles on these issues. This is the biggest thing I've seen. And the scary thing is the print media really isn't picking up on it yet. I hope they do, but this thing is for real. It has the potential of impacting and touching just about everybody.
That's absolutely right. In fact, you know, this goes beyond the water, as you say, the non-source water. It's anything but a pipe here in the United
States.
We were talking about the United Nations in the last segment, and of course, I don't know if you're familiar. I hope my listeners are familiar with LOS, the Land of the Sea Treaty, which basically gives the United Nations power over the high seas all over the world, barring the international or the national coastlines that are, again, regulated by any given sovereign country. So they are attempting now to wrestle the high seas from us all over the planet and tax everything that goes through these seas. So, I mean, this, again, is such an enormous issue. You know, we mentioned, you know, water could be what oil was in the 20th century, and this will determine wealth of nations, again, according to Fortune magazine. Well, of course, the United Nations has come out very clearly and said food is a weapon, and of course, food is grown with water, at least last time I checked. Do you think that, I don't know how much you're interested in issues going on in Iraq right now. We follow the news very closely. Some have suggested to us, Don, that the war in Iraq, the taking of Iraq, is just as much about water as it was about oil.
Well, you're a little bit out of my realm of expertise there, but I wouldn't doubt it.
Tigris and Euphrates being the main water source,
yeah,
of course, pipelines running right to Israel as soon as the occupation was settled.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. What I would suggest is look in your backyard, because the thing about water, and one of the things that's happening in the United States right now is there's governmental focus on watersheds and basins. Basins and watersheds are essentially the same thing. And the key there is that everything, all land and all water, is located within one basin or another. So wherever you live, you're in a basin. So you start at home. And look at what government, local, state, federal, are doing in your backyard. Because I think one of the things we're doing to counter this is looking at what's happening in the particular basins in Minnesota.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how much stuff is going on. And it's amazing how few people know about it.
Are you aware that, I mean, some of this stuff just blows my mind. Last year, we reported a story that in several cities and states across the country, it was illegal to collect rainwater without government permission.
Wow.
So we're not just talking about the land that, the water that's on the ground here, Don. We're talking about the water that comes from the clouds.
I hadn't heard that one, but nothing would surprise me anymore. It really doesn't. And this thing is going to get, the thing is, this thing does have a pretty good chance of passing with 167 co-sponsors. That was before the election in the House. And I think...
When does the bill go to vote?
Well, I don't know. Oberstar is going to reintroduce it. He's not really talking about it. He doesn't want to talk about it. I think he's been around long enough to know that his constituents don't like this kind of stuff. And so he's really on the House side.
Do you think Oberstar and Feingold know what they're doing here, or are they just being duped like so many of our elected or selected government officials?
I can't speak for Feingold. I think Mr. Oberstar knows. He may have a clue.
He's a fool,
you know,
and should be taken out of office immediately.
Pardon me?
If he doesn't know what he's doing, he's a fool and has no business being a proxy for the people.
Well, in either case, it's not good. You know, whether he knows what he's doing, it's not a good thing. And if he doesn't know, wow, that's scary too. But he has been in Washington for several decades. And he's the kind of person that gets elected every term, every 2 years, by wide margins.
Do you think, we're again looking onto the horizon, and hypothetically again this does pass, we're going to do everything we can to make this so it doesn't pass, but because privatization of water is a pretty big issue, selling this to World Bank or World uh-huh. Trade Organizations uh-huh. or to private international sources, uh-huh. as I mentioned to you on the phone today, we had some information about a year or two ago that a lot of the water coming out of the Great Lakes was sold off to foreign interests, so uh-huh. foreigners own the water in points near the Great Lakes, such as uh-huh. Illinois, uh-huh. And this is a huge, huge issue. Do you see that there's a possibility here that once the federal government takes control of all of our water here, they might start selling it off as assets? Obviously, they owe a lot of money.
Well, you know, I think once the federal government gets control of something, then anything's possible.
We don't have to fill in the blanks hypothetically. I think it's enough for my listeners to dread just knowing that the federal government could be taking control of this. What are the farmers saying about this? I know you talked to them.
The farm organizations are opposed to this, but that doesn't mean they've got enough political clout to stop it. As I said, the bill on the House side had bipartisan support. I think a lot of people just signed on because they trust their colleague or colleagues and don't really understand. That's one of the scary things about legislation in general, both at the federal and the state level, is that only a handful of people really understand bills, especially comprehensive and complex bills like water and the activities affiliated with water.
Right.
You know, and most people don't want to even study it. So you basically got a whole bunch of people jumping on the bandwagon. I mean, let's face it, clean water is a good election year issue.
And I'm sorry to say that people take it for granted. I mean, you told me 20 years ago that I'd be paying for my drinking water, okay, mm-hmm. and I couldn't just drink it out of the tap. I wouldn't have believed you. We filter all our water here in the Bloodhouse, and people know that, and we haven't actually paid for water in quite some time. But I want people to get on this, Don. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to have everybody call their local senators, their local state congressmen, okay, and make them aware of the Oberstar-Feingold Clean Water Authority Restoration Act, otherwise known as H.R. 1356 and Senate Bill 912, okay? And I'm going to post this up at jackblood.com. We're going to post it on uncoverthenews.com. So if you forget, you didn't write this down, go over there and please do something to help yourselves out here. Folks, we do not want the feds to federalize all of our water. This is a bigger issue than I can even articulate. Don, I appreciate you guys being on this.
Okay, thanks for having us. We appreciate it.
And keep me posted, will you? I'll try to get you my email information, and just keep me in the loop, and anything we can do to help you guys, just let us know, okay?
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Don Parmeter with the American Public and Private Property Coalition. We didn't even get to the private property. Well, we kind of did with Agenda 21, the eminent domain. So many issues to talk about in this. We really got to watch these people. The second we go to sleep, they take all our water. Okay? We'll come back. A second hour coming up. We're going to take your calls at 800-259-9231. Alex Jones should be joining us right after this top of the hour propaganda news break. You're listening to Deadline Live. I'm Jack Blood. This is the GCN Radio Network. Seven, tell them Jack Blood sent you.
Hard-hitting news. Alternative talk radio. Get ready, America, for Deadline Live with your host, Jack Blood. Deadline Live is a daily wrap-up for those too busy in the daily grind to discern and dissect the news. While the so-called mainstream media buries the truth, Jack Blood uncovers it, exposing the lies that our trusted government officials do not want us to know. And now, please welcome Jack Blood.
We are locked and loaded. second hour of Deadline Live coming your way this 29th day of January 2007. I'm Jack Blood, your narrator, your radio gun, reporting for the next hour. We are on the air Monday through Friday, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Central Time, 3 to 5 Eastern, 12 to 2 Pacific on the one and only Genesis Communications Radio Network. I just really appreciate everybody out there spreading the word about our program. It's growing again faster than ever. We are just so honored to have such a great, intelligent audience and all of the brave people behind the scenes that make this work, that keep us on the air, that keep the show moving in the right direction and constantly growing. We just couldn't do it without you. There has been a... how do I put this? There has been a pretty big controversy here in our own backyard of Austin, Texas, which I think really carries over to the nation. And as much as I'd like to just not talk about this, the problem is with me is that I'm a very loyal person, and my friends who are involved in this terrible, terrible situation need my help. So I have to address some of these serious issues going on here in our own backyard. And before I go to Alex Jones to update us on some new information that I think is important to know, I just want to say this, okay? And I know this might sound kind of cryptic to some of the listeners maybe who don't know what's going on. Most of you, I think, do by this point. But I don't want people to worry about this because there is no vacuum, okay? We are moving forward at such a pace, at such a speed, that there is no vacuum, okay? If something goes away, something better just jumps right up and replaces it. And the old adage, you know, energy can't be killed, it can only be transformed. And I believe, you know, metaphorical fire in this case, a fire cleanses and grows new life. There is no way to hurt the movement. And this is what a lot of people worry about. Well, this, that, the other thing is going to hurt the movement. No, the only thing that hurts the movement is doing the same thing over and over and over again the wrong way and expecting different results, which I believe is still the definition of insanity. Alex Jones is on the air with us from the Alex Jones Show, Infowars.com, my friend here in Austin, Texas. Alex, thank you for joining us.
Jack, thank you. First off, I just want to say that you're one of the only people here locally in the spotlight who has courage. And 2 weeks ago, when I got mad on my own show and then it spilled over to yours, you know, you even let me put you on the spot to expose somebody's hypocrisy that really, you know, put some heat onto you. And I appreciate that, Jack. But for listeners that just tuned in and don't know what we're talking about, you listen to Jack Blood's show. And that's why it's number two on the Genesis Network, climbed from when he started a few years ago from like number five to number two, second biggest show on Genesis next to mine. Because Jack stays focused on issues, news, information. These other so-called patriot networks and people, a lot of them are just egomaniac mental patients, and all they do is try to tear down every other network because they think that if they tear it down, then that makes them king. They don't understand that, number one, we're trying to save the country. Number two, when somebody, great folks like Loose Change, makes a film that over 40 million people have seen, you know, they erased it all off Google when it was like 20 million, now there's another 20 million or so of all the versions, I get excited and happy. Because that just means all these new people are going to wake up and come see my information. When people wake up to my information, they go see their information. I believe rising tides raise all ships. And that's always been my goal. I know that's your goal, Jack. And so we, number one, have a record of works. We have borne incredible fruit in this community. We've helped so many people. We've tried to build up people. We've tried to be platforms to bring others on. And we've tried to be supportive and nurturative and good. And for 6 years, I'm embarrassed to say 7 or 8 years, an individual did a few bad things to me. I ignored it. They quietly apologized, but never apologized on air. I even let them suck me into doing a Saturday show with them for a while. And then I learned it was all about collecting donations on my back when they weren't even needed. And so I said I was going to quit. The individual pointed a gun at me and said I better do what they say. I mean, think, let that burn in. Let that sink in. So let me bring you to the newest chapter, and for those that are wondering what we're talking about, I'll just tell you. There is another little network. Genesis is based out of Minnesota, run by a normal, you know, even-tempered guy, Ted Anderson. And this other network started up, and immediately everybody heard who lives here in Austin on the micro saying, that place is going under, they're bad, they rip you off, they're not good, me, 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 I'm good, send me donations 24/7, making the other host do it. And at that first time, you were there because he'd hired you out of Rhode Island where you were an affiliate carrying my show, and you had your own news show and program. Deadline Live, and you went down there and pretty soon saw the craziness, and pretty soon saw the things that were happening, and got out quietly, never said a word, had the person say your, you know, all your personal details on air, call your son, you know, your common-law marriage. You just don't get an official marriage. We don't believe in that. I'm not either. Calling your son a bastard. And you put up with that. And I told you, I said, Jack, you ought to attack him. He said, listen, I'm going to take the high road. And you were so upset, and I know your wife was crying. I remember hearing it in the background, and that person was getting such pleasure off of it. And you said, no, I'm taking the high road. Well, I said, if he ever does that to anybody else I care about, I'm going after him. And so I was in a bad mood a few weeks ago, and I just kind of spouted off vaguely about a few different people who were embarrassments to me in the movement. And I didn't even say anybody's name. And this person went on the air and made gunshot noise and said, it's the last bridge you'll ever cross. And I got PIs on you and played my music and, you know, basically said the top talk shows. Everybody knew what we got 50 calls. And then people took from what he said that I was a drug dealer and involved in all these drugs. When you know, Jack, we've been at a few parties where people are smoking pot. Do I take the joint, Jack? No, I don't take the joint. I don't like marijuana, okay? And I don't like drugs other than, you know, occasional alcohol. And so just this incredible lie on air. And then I found a few of the locals, one of them with a similar name to mine, just said, hey, that's the way it is. You know, that's the way it is. And you know, pointing guns at people, that's the way it is. And pointing guns at staff meetings just out of the blue at people, that's no big deal. And then all these other people came out over, yeah, he pointed a gun at me, pointed a gun at me, pointed a gun at me. And just a few locals said, well, that's okay, that's good. And I remember hearing people who were at those meetings and literally were writing notes that just, this is all good, this is nice, this is a good thing. And so I went out of town on vacation, and I came back, and this individual called me last Monday night and said, I'd like to beat your wife. He was obviously hopped up on something, sounded drunk. And, you know, when I pointed that gun at you, you were little and scared. This so-called network head called me and said this. And I'm going, this is your apology? Because he kept going, I'm scared. And he'd like shift into another personality and go, you were little and scared when I pointed that gun at you. I mean, it was literally craziness or a good act. You know, we're talking Oscar winning. And I just said, and at that point I just said, man, you just can't stop your evil. I just said, I don't even know what I'm going to do. And I told people privately, I don't know if I'm going to sue him. You know, it's just so horrible, endangering my family like that, making up lies that get me SWAT teamed. And I just kind of was just doing my show and worrying about going on George Norrie and Talk Fest and book people and all the making films. You know, Jack, I work all the time. And then some of the locals just get fed up. And they go, well, we're going to take this nut off so he can, you know, quit misrepresenting himself and doing all this. It's happened too many times. And I'm like, boy, the fireworks will hit on that. You know, I'm pretty much neutral in all of that. But I support this, you know, really good, this really good individual who, and I said, yeah, probably is the best thing, who literally, when John went off the air, because he called up, this network person, called up Genesis when he had a show there, and, you know, said, I'll come up there and kill you. I mean, this is what he does to everybody. So they said, okay, you're fired. And then he went on the air and attacked the network for years and said all these horrible things and tried to drive it under and told all the advertisers that. And of course, it's never been stronger. We ignored all that. We sat there and just, it's like being punched over and over again in the face.
No, we have bigger fish to fry, and this is a big distraction that we don't need. But it's extremely divisive, and that's really, I think, where the people on the ground have a problem with all of this. But let's bring you back here for the next segment, Alex Jones, and we'll let you continue on. I know you have some new information that is just horrible, and I think, again, needs to get on the record. We'll come right back. Alex Jones from the Alex...
8-8-211-1715.
I believe what I said yesterday. I don't know what I said, but I know what I think. And I assume it's what I said.
Take me as I am. I don't pretend to be anything I'm not. People that know me, they'll know that there's no personality that I put on to do this radio program. I am what I am in all walks of life. This is me for all the world to see, wearing my heart on my sleeve. You know, it's been said before that my loyalty to the people that have helped me and been there for me, who I consider to be some of the most honest and forthright patriots I've ever met, makes me a company man. Isn't that a nice way to paint loyalty to your friends, your family, and to the people that really matter? You see, and this is just the same thing where they say you can't fight City Hall. Well, of course you can. We do it all the time. Because they don't want you to be loyal to your friends. They want you to worry about being labeled as a company man. I frankly just don't care. And the gentleman in question that we're going to be talking about here, a former employee at this other network here in Texas that I used to work with, is probably one of the most honest, loyal, pure people I've ever met. He is probably more of a real patriot than just about anyone I've ever met in every sense of the word. His words, which I know were very hard for him because of his loyalty, were that of a brave individual. They should be trusted. They should be heeded. That said, I know we have loaded phone lines. We're going to get everybody in. Please don't hang up, okay? We're going to get everybody in. I know some people want to talk about H.R. 1356, Senate Bill 912, the Oberstar Feingold Bill, which is more draconian legislation to give our government and international entities power over our water and our food. We'll get to that. But I have Alex Jones on the phone with me now. I want to lay this all out. I want to bear it all, get it all on the record. Alex, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, Jack, I don't want to take up too much time, but if I have to, I'll do two or three on the other side to finish up. I kind of gave backside to this, and there's no way to go over all the horrors and all the abuse that UI and many others have taken. But basically how this worked is we woke up all these people. I woke up all these people locally. This individual got fired from the other network. He claimed, you know, that he was being persecuted. He called people to come help. And Wes Perkins, the person who we've talked about, the guy that did call screening over there and set up their whole network and got John back on air, you know, the day after he got canned, he went over there to help at free, you know, for free for the at first. And basically a lot of his hardware is still over there today. And then over the next 2.5 years, he saw all these horrors happen, and then he just wanted to get away. Then he just wanted to go away. He said, I don't want to work with you guys anymore. I don't want any part of this. And in front of two employees up there that he trusts, this individual that you know supposedly runs that network said had Wes followed to his new house. Wes had moved just so these people knew where he lived. That's how intimidating they are. And then they said, the day after he moved, they already knew where he'd moved, and they said the address and said, yeah, we'll just call the police on him. And then that part of the story enters into it. Wes Perkins had no criminal record. He got pulled over at a police checkpoint.
Can I stop you for a second, Alex? I mean, I want people to understand what you're saying, because there's nothing worse in the Patriot movement than a snitch.
Well, exactly, but let me just give people the background. Wes wasn't in trouble for drunk driving. He wasn't in trouble for beating his wife. He was never been in trouble for anything. They wanted to see his ID. He said, no, you have no reason. They jerked him out. He didn't resist, so they charged him with failure to ID and the Class B misdemeanor of interfering with a police officer's duties. He went to the court. It was all a big sham. This guy is very quiet, but he didn't like to be pushed around, so he just didn't go. And now we're getting him a lawyer. We're going to fix all that so they can't hold it over his head. And you know, all of that developed, and then this individual, just because this person wants to leave, they told him, and they told everybody, well, you're going to come over and give us all your technology and teach us how to run all this, and basically be our slave, or we're just going to call the police on you. And by the way, you know, we know where he lives. This was said in front of people, so they would, you know, who they knew were his good friends. It was no secret. And to be clear, he's not really an employee. He was always a contractor over there at that place, the Carpetbagger Network, and he owns both the domains, rbnlive.com and rbnlive.net. You can go look. It's his company that's the registrar. He owned the T1 going in there. They refused to pay him last week. And he says he wants to leave. They say, no, you're going to help give us the technology, or we're going to send the police. Then they add on that, and we're not going to, you know, you're not going to get your check. He called and said the person's there to pick the check up. They didn't give it to him. I mean, imagine this. And literally this guy now, who went from making a ton of money, running big IT for a huge company, and like 4 or 5 years, the Patriot Movement's basically destroyed his life. Now he was charging them what the T1 cost. So he was telling me the other day he didn't have money to go pay it just to even keep it on. So he turns the T1 off. What do they think he would do? And he goes on his own website and says, my family's being threatened. They're threatening to send police to my house. He's got babies. It tears my guts out. What do they think when they corner someone? And now the snake, the landlord who called Stettmiller and told him all this, calls Wes up today going, look, you just need to stop all this. You guys need to stop fighting. I mean, they do this to this guy, and then they wonder. It's mental illness, man. They need to look in the mirror. And I'm going to stand up for him. And, folks, you think the gloves have been taken off. I'm taking them off right now. Everybody, the gloves are coming off. I said I'm releasing the Kraken 2 weeks ago. No. Now I'm releasing the Kraken because here's the latest piece of news, and it goes from bad to worse. Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready for the new thing that happened?
Lay it on us.
Drum roll. This dirtbag carpetbagger who intimidates everybody and kicks dogs in the throat and calls your son a bastard when it's not true and does all these horrible things, started calling around threatening people that he was going to call the FBI, and of course I'm sure he's got quite a relationship, and he was going to call the Round Rock PD where this dirtbag is located, and he was going to claim that his thing had been hijacked. And sure enough, today, Wes got a call, didn't answer it, from the police offices of Round Rock. So now a man with his three babies, I mean, he's got a newborn, he's got a toddler and a three-year-old. Imagine with his wife and his babies, this creature would file a false report, which is great because they're going to go see the domain name is owned by him. They're going to go see that the T1 was his property. They're going to find out that there was never any system up there. There wasn't even a head. It was just Stettmiller coming in 2 hours a day saying he was a boss and all these slaves in there just doing stuff with no contract. And I know Stettmiller likes to play with the dropping dime, something I've never done in my life. I pay income taxes, not because they're fair, but because I don't want that hanging over my head. I pay payroll taxes. I have professional ADP services and accountants do it all. I'm whistle clean. No skeletons. This is an individual that pays all his employees with cash. This is an individual who pays no income tax. We could drop dime right now, and there'll be yellow tape on that cesspit over there within days from the comptroller of the state of Texas. And we're not going to stop.
Alex, you want to do a little bit more on the other side of this break? You want to stay aboard with us?
Yes, I'll stay.
Okay. And then Daryl, George, Scott.
Gian Bastiani.
Deadline Live, Jack Webb with you, Alex Jones, and my guest here for the second hour. This is the Genesis Communications Radio Network. The network that woke me up, folks. I'm telling you like it is. I would have never done anything that I've done without Genesis. They're the ones, and Alex Jones, the one that led me to the Genesis Communications Radio Network. You know, I used to run multi-million dollar radio companies as the general manager and executive vice president of North American Broadcasting Company, and then another network, a million-dollar radio station in some of the most populated country, in part of the country here, geographically here in the world. And I left. I left to go to the Carpetbagger Network, Network B. Even against the warnings of my friend Alex, who told me and others told me, I was too idealistic to listen. And I went and I learned the hard way. I lived, I learned. And after the censoring, after the tantrums, after being used as a vehicle to monopolize and to rake in the cash, okay, here in Austin, Texas, and seeing the writing on the wall, I went where I was always supposed to go, to the Genesis Communications Radio Network. And in 2 years I've been on this network, they've done nothing but help me. They have never once told me who I could have or what I should say on the air. They have really done nothing but work with me to develop my radio program. And I mean, there's just no way to have a complaint here. So, folks, I mean, look, like I said earlier, nature abhors a vacuum, and the movement abhors a vacuum. There is no vacuum here. It's a minor inconvenience. We're cleaning up our own mess. We're not calling the government, okay? We're not calling the FBI. We're not calling the police to clean up our mess. We're cleaning up our own mess, and in a way, well, not being our brother's keeper. Alex Jones, I want you to finish with this, and I'm going to tell all my callers. We're going to get to you. Just hang with us.
Yeah,
Alex.
Let me just close out with this. You just made me think. Not only has Ted Anderson never told you what to say, it's kind of the opposite. You never even hear from him. So we do whatever we want.
Are you listening, Ted?
Yes, yes. He probably isn't. He's probably busy cleaning the toilets and fixing computers, literally. We have a CEO and an owner who literally cleans the toilets himself. I've been there, seen him clean the toilets. And you notice Ted doesn't ask for donations either. But to make a long story short, you know, the carpetbagger parasite will try to claim that we're trying to destroy some network. No, we're just tired of being conked on the head, and they went after the wrong guy, and he did this of his own volition. But I'm here defending him and others. And I would add the caveat to this. All he ever publicly did, the carpetbagger, was openly try to destroy Genesis. I mean, you know, so for the 5-10% out there that are mad at us, and that's how the email's coming in, for those that don't know the whole picture, this person, if you ever listened, his whole mission was to destroy Genesis. And it was kind of like a horsefly. It hurts.
Sounds like Bush. I mean, you know, somebody comes out and says that there's no Niger documents and no uranium enrichment, and you go out and attack him and out his wife as a CIA agent.
Yeah,
I got to tell you, Alex, this is what it sounds like to me. I mean, this is exactly what we're fighting.
Yeah, this is Snitchville. But I mean, I want to make clear, Genesis never did anything to anybody. No, never talked trash, never did a single thing. And this individual, just like he did in Michigan and everywhere else he goes, is a cancer, just attacked and attacked and attacked and attacked and attacked, trying to destroy the network that was the Lone Network, the network that worked with everybody. You know, back when it was Liberty Works Radio Network, they were just normal people. They just called up and said, we want to take half the ads and put Alex on our network. Ted just wants to get the word out. He goes, sure. You know, he's a guy that just dealt with everybody. Just a normal, friendly, nice person. And just, folks, if I try to tell you all the stuff we've seen and been through, the threatening phone calls, and my friends go, why don't you hook recorders up? Well, cell phones don't even have that. Imagine randomly every 3 months at, you know, 1 a.m. you're up working and it's like, you son of a bitch, I'm gonna come down there and it's the end of you. You hear me? I'm gonna come get you. I know what you're doing. It's almost like schizophrenia.
It is schizophrenia.
And you're going, and like every time somebody who worked over there didn't like it, where else are they going to go? Genesis or any one of the other Truth Radio? He would then flip out and think I was doing it. And so after a while of this going on, yeah, when somebody called my office and say, should I go to Genesis? I go, well, yeah. I mean, I don't care, folks. I've got my own radio show. The more stuff I bring on Genesis, the more competition, frankly, it is against people listening to my show, which, you know, runs 24/7. I mean, I'm not even about this show. I'm on George Norrie. I'm on Lars Larson. I'm on CNN. I have websites, you know, that are bigger than RushLimbaugh.com, the DallasMorningNews.com. Folks, I have incredible pressure on me. I don't care about some slimy carpetbagger running around. It's just I'm so sick of people walking up and going, your boss is mean to you on the air, because he knows by disinfo he gets on those micros and says he started it all and he's the boss. And so that was the big irritant. And then calling your son a bastard and dropping dime and pointing guns at me and pointing guns at everybody else. I mean, this is just... this is unbelievable, and I want to close up with this and let you get the calls. The biggest thing here is the fact that that Wes Perkins, whose name was not on Google, who nobody knew who he was, quiet, nice, friendly person. You know, Wes, over the years, has done, you know, work for me. I've got two different IT guys, you know, that put T1s in. He gave me a better price, and I have to make him take a little profit. I have to go, hey, man, how about you tag $100 on that thing? I mean, I don't want you putting in my thing for free. You know, I mean, this is a guy who is just quiet and nice and good. And he just said, I want to leave, man. I don't want to be involved in this anymore. I set this whole thing up. And the carpetbagger, it was so dumb, he didn't realize the IPs were owned by him, the T1s, most of the computers over there. And now they've, you know, last week they changed the locks. He says, can I have my check? They go, we'll see. Nah, you know, well, maybe we'll mail you one. And then he hears, no, they're not going to do it. He hears about the conversations from the employees about how, you know, screw him. They call him and say, have a nice life. Bye bye. And then.
Alice, what's most disturbing, though, is calling the feds, calling the cops. I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, folks, if I have a problem with you, I might just go knock on your door, okay?
Well, exactly, but let me add this. Even after they did that, Wes called me on Friday afternoon, and he said, oh, boy, they're, you know, it looks like they're not going to pay me. And I was like, well, you know, that's better. They're just bad people. It's all right. Look, and I told Wes, I said, just focus on Radio Free Austin and, you know, focus on a new website I want to start. He's doing some backbone for that, for video serving. And I'm like, you know, let's not worry about them. See, I want those egomaniacs to know, I don't like thinking about you. I want you out of my life. We don't care about your little petty dirtbag operation, okay? It isn't even on the radar, you fools. We're not, okay? We don't think you tear down people to go up, okay? We're here to, I'm thinking about the end of my life and fighting the New World Order and everything I'm up against. I'm not, okay, I'm telling him, I'm sitting there going, well, you know, let's just focus on this new, you know, venture I want to do that I've been talking about for a few months. I'm hiring specialists, other people. Wes was only one part of that, and he was already doing IT for us for a year. And then he calls me, and his voice is shaking, and he goes, they know where I live, and they're going to send the cops over here. And he had two eyewitnesses. And the sick thing is then these fruitcakes start calling people going, I can't believe he's doing this to me. That's like walking up to somebody and hitting them in the head with a baseball bat. Going after their kids, you know, that's the analogy, and then wondering why they would, that's like swinging a baseball bat at somebody and calling it assault if they use their arm to block the blow. And I mean, I think these people are mental patients, frankly, because I mean, they think you can just go on and go on and go on and go on pushing, and they push me too far. And let me tell you, I was hoping this all blew over and just went away. I got big fish to fry, man. I got 300 hours of video in there to edit into a new film. I got stuff going on. We got a huge event Thursday that you're going to be speaking at with me at the Project for New American Citizens at the huge UT Union Ballroom, 7:30, coming up this Thursday. Folks, go get details at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. I got fishing trips I'd like to carve out a day or two to run down to the coast. I got a life. And then the traitorous activities of this other individual, because it became a pissing contest, who now was like the evil lapdog, or like that creature that sat on Jabba the Hutt's shoulder, who would engage in such treachery. I'm going to get out of here.
No, Alex, I'd really appreciate it if you'd stay with me and take these calls for one more segment.
Sure.
I'd like you to share the line with me. We got
sure.
Daryl and George and Mike and Lester and another Mike. And just sit and take these calls with me. We'll go rapid fire. We'll get everybody in this next segment. Really, whatever you want to talk about. Stay tuned, folks. Deadline Live, Genesis Communications Radio Network.
$5.99.
And now, back to Deadline Live with your narrator, Jack Blood.
Let me tell you. One for you, 19 for me. 'Cause I'm the tax man. Yeah.
We have a full hour coming up ahead. Let me squeeze in a phone call here. Charlie in Texas. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, how you doing there, John?
Good.
Long time listener. I just have a suggestion, you know, for network and you know, in this battle against that new world order. I mean, you know, I think you've pushed the line here, man, and you know, you're putting across a message that you're pretty much just a carpet bagging Yankee, wife beating dope head. And I'm wondering why you can laugh over me, man, but I'm wondering what ran you out of Michigan. Why'd you leave Michigan?
Charlie?
Yeah.
Why don't you leave your number with the producer here, and I'd be happy to discuss anything you want to talk about, my friend.
Oh, you'll be getting a call, but it won't be from me.
Oh, okay, Charlie. Thank you very much.
Try us Texans, man.
Thank you very much. Goodbye, Charlie.
Yeah, goodbye, loser.
Are you paying attention to this? Well, when I get a call like that, just cut him off. There's somebody with a personal.
Yeah, don't let any dissenting opinion in. Please call us if you disagree with what we're saying on the program today. And I, you know, hey, man, I. I'm sure there are consequences to pay for that, but I'll sow what I reap, okay? That's the lesson here, folks. You sow what you reap. Let this be a lesson to all of us here working for freedom and against the New World Order. Alex Jones is with us. Alex, let's take these calls, okay?
Sure.
Daryl in Montana. Daryl, thank you for holding. You're on Deadline Live.
Yeah, hey, guys. How you doing?
Okay.
Sorry to hear about all that BS, but, you know, sometimes that stuff happens. I had a question for Alex and you. What do you think of Dr. William or Bill Daigle?
He's an interesting fellow, nice fellow.
Okay.
I think his intentions are perfectly honest.
Okay. Yeah, so do I. What do you think of some of the stuff he talks about with the, you know, off-world bases and UFOs?
You know, I've interviewed him twice, and I've talked to him a few times. I don't listen to a lot of other talk radio because I'm literally working all the time.
Well, okay. Well, I just wanted to know what your opinion was because I find a lot of his information extremely interesting.
Well, look, I mean, the thing about information is let's not go from Bill O'Reilly to some other form of ether or mind control. Let's do our homework, and anything that any of us say, man, please go check it out. Let us know if it's not checking out, and we'll make a public correction instantly. So
yeah.
That goes for Dr. Deagle,
that
goes for Alex, that goes for me. I know this is what we're trying to do, is change the paradigm to get people to think for themselves. That's the most important thing, and that's what our overall message should be.
And Jack, let me just say one thing here.
Okay.
I'm just going to let you go to the calls and listen. Let's get back on target, too, after we defend this man and his family from just snitched him and false accusations when he owns those domain names and it's his right to tell the truth. Coming up this Thursday, February 1st, in UT Union Ballroom, it's beautiful and it's huge. Come all. Jack's going to be popping in to speak. I think I'm going to probably try to have one other speaker there. It's just me speaking, but I figure why just have Alex talk for 2 hours. And I want to see everybody come down there. We got maps and details up on Infowars.com.
Yeah, I'm working on a conference that in Arizona that I know we're both speaking at as well. And we're doing events in Dallas and all around the country. Yeah, that's not a problem, Alex. We'll always be business number one, exposing the New World Order number one, defending our freedoms, our families, and our communities, always number one. But, you know, man... by fire. I mean, we just gotta purge this and move on.
Exactly. You know, it's like when I go to bat for families here locally or families around the country every week on the show, sometimes three or four times a week, just like you do. When people I don't even know are being persecuted, I get mad. And to have it in our own movement, you know, I mean, I'm tired. It's like a dog you don't even know in your house just going all over the place, and I'm sick of it, man.
Let's go to Mike in New York. Mike, thank you for calling into the program. You're on the air. Mike, are you with us?
Looks like Mike went happy trails.
Let's go to... Okay, do we have Mike in Texas? Are you with us?
Hello.
Yes, Mike. Thank you for calling in. Mike in Texas, you're on the air.
Jack and Alex, I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you. I just want to kind of reinforce what you guys are talking about today. I was involved with donating over there at the RBN Network. And let me give you a little bit of background. I had about a 24-year period of as an advocate and a lobbyist. Alex, I remember seeing you coming out to demonstrations when you were in your early 20s. I'm a native Austinite. I now live in the Hill Country. I went over and put on John's table a proposal to develop an advocacy organization so we can take the constitutional movement a step further into the legislative process, into getting people elected to office. And
I want to hear the end of it. We're running out of time.
Okay, and he just was laughing it off. I think he's an anesthetizer. All it was cycle around back to the radio network, didn't want to take the movement any further. And then he opens his drawer and shows me his pistol. So, I just don't have anything to say other than I'm endorsing what everything that you guys have been talking about today.
Literally, like 35 people have now called, and they say that's. But I mean, if he's really trying to show off, he points it at you and threatens you. But basically, it looks like everybody gets shown the gun.
Well, I'm a professional. I'm kind of semi-retired now, but I'm wanting to apply my skills in this movement. I have a C-band satellite in my backyard, so I was running Genesis for a year until the satellite changed. Then I went to RBN. I finally unplugged it from what was going on over there and had been working with the micro folks out of Austin. And I plan to do the best I can to be there Thursday night, Alex. I'm going to put this proposal in front of you. And
Well, here's the deal, sir. I'm so busy, I don't even have time to brush my teeth hardly, and I mean that I forgot to brush them this morning.
Well,
I haven't even seen my family I've seen my children like 10 minutes the last 2 days. But there's other folks. We can get you in touch with people to work that out. And if it's a good proposal, maybe I'll have you on as a guest or something. But
yeah,
I promise this.
Write me, Mike, here at jackblood@hotmail.com.
Yeah,
I'll look at all my mail.
If you ever come to my office, let me just say this. If you ever come to my office when I first meet you, I won't show you a gun. Okay. And Jack,
I was showing the gun. Hey, man, I guess this is a systemic problem.
I mean, how did he do it? Is it just like, hey, don't mess with me? That's usually what he says.
And he opens the drawer and shows you the gun.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
tell me the story, sir. Let me hear it quick. Tell me the story.
Well, I had my nephew in with me, and I think he thought that we were a hit squad or something like that. And so opens the drawer, there's the gun, and to me it was laughable. And I was in there to talk seriously about moving people into the political process, moving constitutionalists into the political process, and he just doesn't want to do that.
Yeah.
I think he just wants to talk about.
If we started taking calls on people, he's showed guns to or aim guns.
The lines would be jammed.
It'd probably take hours.
Yeah. I got to go. Yeah. Thank you for the call, Mike.
I have to go to
Lester in Ohio because Lester has called in about H.R. 1356, Senate Bill 912. That is the Opistar Feingold Clean Water Authority Restoration Act, where they take over all of our water here in the country for the Senate and the Congress right now. You've had some experience with this, Lester. Please share what you know with us.
Okay, here's what happened. I live out in the country, right? And I got a well. And
I got 2 minutes,
and
Lester. So
wells and
break it down for us, Lester, in two minutes.
I had a neighbor move in. He's a county engineer. And so he started trying to petition everybody because he wanted city water run down through here, right, so he can develop his land. But he tried getting us all to sign petitions. We refused. So a year went by or so, and then we get this notice from the Northwestern Water and Sewer District that they're coming through with water. And they were trying to get us all to sign, and nobody wanted it. Well, there was two people, I think, wanted it, whatever.
So they just did it anyway, surprise.
Like
so I fought them, and they took me to court August 3rd. I went to court, me and my wife, and they tried to get me to plea bargain with them. I said, no, ain't no bargain about it, you know? I mean, I know what's in the water, you know?
Hey, Lester, do me a favor, man. Write me over at jackblood@hotmail.com. Tell me what happened. We're about to put together a huge campaign to fight this. And let me, Alex, get you to comment. I'm sure you heard that interview we did about the Opistar Feingold Clean Water Bill to take over all our water.
Yeah, and it's all being handed over to foreign interests like the roads, the lotteries, the education, everything else. Hey, folks, God bless you. Support Wes Perkins under his persecution. For those persecuting him, you just made the gloves come completely off, and hope you enjoy it.
Thank you, Alex. I'll see you on Thursday night at UT. Thank you for joining us on the program today. Folks, we just do what we got to do. Tomorrow we go back. We cover the news. This is our job. It is a job that we don't take lightly, okay? I appreciate everybody supporting us, and let's move forward. I want you to go to somebody nearest to you who you might have wronged and said, hey, let's get back together. Let's work together. Let's stop the New World Order. Let's fight the federal government and the massive takeover in this once great republic. And let's do it right now. Let's redouble our efforts, focus in like a laser beam, and get the job done. Thank you for joining us today, folks. I'm Jack Blood, as always, saying be bold and mighty forces will come to your aid.